Time to move away from reactive isolationist response and lower the drawbridge to the outside world, according to one health expert. In an editorial for the Internal Medicine Journal, Auckland University Professor of Medicine Des Gorman argues for a dedicated pandemic response agency as we move to the next phase of our COVID recovery. The agency would develop a pandemic plan, border and quarantine management, tracing and isolation capacity. Well, next week, the Prime Minister will reveal her thinking around border restrictions and how the vaccination rollout could change that. But right now, we're joined by Professor Des Gorman. Hi, Des. So, I mean, how would a pandemic agency help us lower the drawbridge to the outside world?
Oh, good evening, Lisa. The answer is that you have an agency who has competency in governance and has got competency in governance around the issues which matter, which include supply chain, logistics. And in the case of vaccination, for example, you would have an agency which oversees the distribution of vaccination through primary care networks, Māori Health Networks, iwi, and so on. We've had a vaccination rollout, Lisa, which has not gone well, and especially not gone well in terms of vulnerable people. And the irony is that the general practitioners, the iwi groups, the PHOs know exactly who the vulnerable community are. They know how to access them. They're their patients. And we could have got a list of vulnerable people within 5 minutes. So the way the agency would work is along the lines of how we manage biosecurity. You don't invest all the resources in Wellington. That's a coordination centre. And it actually calls upon expertise where and when it needs it to actually affect change. So if you're looking at immunisation, you'd say to the primary care networks, tell me who are the vulnerable individuals in whānau, and now we want you to contact them and we want you to immunise them. That's your job. And the distribution, you'd use things like Freightways, Foodstuffs, Woolworths expertise to actually get the logistics right. So it's a matter of a network rather than a single entity.
So, Professor, are you saying they won't decide policy, they'll do logistics?
The ultimately, the direction has to come from government. The government says, we want vulnerable people vaccinated. What the agency would do then is it has a governance group, which is a job to oversee the implementation of that broad strategy. In other words, the government simply says, our job is to say, we want vulnerable people vaccinated. The agency then would take that mission, would turn that into a plan, and would execute that plan. And the plan would be executed like we do with biosecurity, where you say, where does the expertise sit? Who's generally good at this, and you deploy resources as you require them. So the central agency has a coordination role.
But isn't that what the Ministry of Health is doing?
No, the Ministry of Health hasn't used primary care. The Ministry of Health has not used Freightways or Foodstuffs. It hasn't called upon all the resources available to it. We've actually tried to identify vulnerable people by age cohort or by saying particular diseases. But the ministry doesn't even know how many people there are in those cohorts. It doesn't even know how many vulnerable people. When it says we've vaccinated 20% or 30%, it actually doesn't know because it doesn't know what the denominator is. And the irony is primary care does. They know exactly who their vulnerable community is. They know where they are. They know how to contact them and they know how to mobilise them.
So how would you apply this agency then to the issue of managed isolation and quarantine, right? Because at the moment we have capacity issues. Would an agency such as this determine what the capacity is and procure that, even if it's outside, even if it's private enterprise that you're buying that product from?
Absolutely. What the agency would say is, for example, to universities, if you can bring forward a plan which can bring students into the country at this level of risk, and if that involves private hotels or private facilities, we don't care. What we want to see is a plan which you can execute which actually maintains this level of risk. So, in fact, you'd have a very broad mandate and you'd say to people like industries, and I'm pleased to see today that there'll be some extra workers allowed in. But again, you'd invite industry to identify plans and to use whatever resources, public or private. What the agency would set is a standard of risk. It would set a standard of behaviour and it would actually audit that. But you'd have a very broad church view of how you'd go about doing that.
Aren't you contracting out government decisions then?
No, the government's decision is that it, for example, wants to immunise all the vulnerable. The government decision is that it wants to improve access to New Zealanders in and out of New Zealand, but at a certain level of risk. That's its job. The same way it does, Lisa, with all due respect for ACC and the Reserve Bank, and the super fund. We use this model of governance all the time for operations which are quite sophisticated. The government comes, when I was on the board at ACC, the government would come and give us their views, how they wanted us to manage risk, how they wanted us to actually operate the scheme. Then they'd get out of the way and allow the board to govern.
So, Professor, next week the Prime Minister has announced that she's going to unveil elements of the future plan for borders, right? When you look at that announcement, what is your number one priority for the thing that you want next week when she lays out that roadmap?
Yeah. You want plan transparency so that people can actually plan with confidence. You want to see that there is a linkage between vaccination and liberty or mobility or privilege. You want to see that there is a coordinated way in which we're going to catch up with all the vulnerable that haven't been vaccinated to date. I mean, there are still very large numbers of people in groups 1, 2, and 3 who haven't been vaccinated. And as I mentioned to you before, it's quite remarkable. The ministry actually doesn't even know how many people are in those groups. When it quotes 30% vaccination rates and 20% vaccination rates, that's what I call a guess, because they don't know. So, I mean, and guesses, we're a bit late to be guessing, I think. So I want to see plan transparency. I want to see a clear and coherent way in which the borders are opening, linked to vaccination, to begin with, for those who are vaccinated, and beyond a certain level of vaccination, probably 80%, how we move generally towards a more open border.
Good to talk to you. That is Professor Des Gorman, Professor of Medicine at Auckland University.